All right, Luke chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. If you're not there yet, just catch up with me. All right? Luke 8, 26. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, that is, Jesus and his disciples, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained and hand and foot, and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd, someone say large. Large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Someone say afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that we get to study your word, we get to read your word, we get to see how it applies to our lives, Lord. And so I pray today, as we talked about earlier, as we sang earlier, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. We want to see you, we want to see what you want to say to us and what you want to do in us today, Lord. And so we come to you. Would you speak through me now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message today is Accustomed. Accustomed. I grew up in southwest Omaha, the suburbs of Omaha, the big city of Omaha. And I remember as a teenager, as a young adult, that's where I was at. But when I graduated from high school, I went to college. There's one college I don't talk about that I went to. I went there for a semester. It was the only time I was ever put on academic probation. So we don't talk about that college, okay? But the next college I went to was a technical college, and I was going for an associate's degree in computers, computer networking technology. And so this college that I went to had multiple campuses around the city, and one of the campuses was on the other side of Omaha, in northeast Omaha, or the projects of Omaha. Whereas we used to have the TV on at our house all the time, and I'd hear the local news, so-and-so was shot, there was a shooting here, there was a high-speed chase, there was this going on, there was that going on, all these things going on in North Omaha. It was always North Omaha. Okay? There was gangs-related activity that's happening there, too. And so I just grew up thinking, I don't ever want to go there. But then my college classes that I needed to take, most of them, the ones specifically for my degree, were at the North Omaha campus. And so I ended up going down there, where we'd hear sirens go up and down the road multiple times throughout the day. You know, and the people there, they looked a little different than I did. And they dressed a little different than I did. And they even talked a little different than I did. At least those who I was used to being around anyway. But to their credit, I would say that they were more real than a lot of people that I was growing up around in southwest Omaha, because they didn't hide anything about who they were. They didn't say, "Oh, I'm doing good. Nothing's wrong in my life. Oh, I'm just blessed." No, they were like, "Look at me. This is who I am. Take it or leave it," you know, kind of thing. And I grew kind of an affinity toward them. I was like, wow, these are the real people. But it didn't start out that way. It didn't start out that way, but it was eye-opening to me. And I think about here with Jesus. He went to the other side of the lake. The other side of the lake is what verse 26 says. To the region of the Gerasenes, where there was this man who was known to be a streaker. He was the town crazy. And he liked to live in the cemetery. That's where he slept out at night. Not someone that we would naturally probably be drawn to, right? In fact, we'd be like, I don't want anything to do with this guy. And he'll get away. I'm so thankful that the Lord is opening our eyes to be able to see that God has created every single person in his image. No matter what they grew up in, no matter what they struggle with, no matter what their behavior is, God created every single person in his image. And he loves them just as much as he loves us. So thank you, Lord, for that perspective. But yet Jesus here, so just to back up a little bit, before what we read today, Jesus is in a boat with his disciples, and he falls asleep, and the disciples begin to experience this furious squall. Remember we talked about that last year? The furious squirrel that came out, you know? I don't have a picture today, Jason, sorry, but the furious squall came up on the lake, and they said, Lord, we perish. We're going to die. And he gets up. Jesus gets up, and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and the disciples are like, who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They're like, first of all, they're going to a place that's on the other side of the lake, and they're saying, who is Jesus? And now he's taking us to this place where this crazy guy is at, okay? And so they arrive in verse 28, and they find out that the demon-possessed man knows exactly who it is that Jesus is. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Isn't that interesting? The disciples who are Jesus' companions are saying, who is this guy? And the demon-possessed guy is like, what do you want with me, Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus, Son of the Most High God? They already know. Because why? James 2 and verse 19. James says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder. They shudder. They get the shivers. They get the shakes. And so this guy's reaction, or rather the demons in him, when he saw Jesus, was that he cried. He cried. He went, wah. No, he didn't do that. He cried out. He exclaimed. You think about a crazy person. Crazy. We're all crazy in some ways. We just don't always show it, right? Crazy. This guy could just be walking along, and all of a sudden he says, ah! That'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? That's what he did. He went, ah, Jesus, what do you want? But then he falls down on the ground. The Bible says he falls down. He prostrates himself on the ground in worship because he knows who Jesus is. And he says, what do you want with me? What do you want? Don't torture me. And you get the picture. The strong, powerful legion of demons that could not be contained by any craft of man. He was bound in chains, hand and foot, and kept under guard, and yet he broke free of all of that and continued to go into those places, those solitary places. And you get the picture that Jesus is greater. And guess what? He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We don't need to fear the darkness that's around us. Even if it seems like it's increasing, which it is. We don't need to fear that, because the one that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We are the light bearers of Jesus Christ. We don't need to fear it. We need to stand firm in Jesus and be the light. Amen? Amen. That word torture there in the Greek, it means to press hard, to torment, or to afflict. Jesus' mere presence was torment to the impure spirit. Now, unless you've ever been demon-possessed, you may not think that you can relate to this at all. You may instead think, well, praise the Lord, I didn't have to deal with that. Excuse me. I didn't have to go that far. I didn't have to deal with being demonically possessed. But I think that we can kind of relate to this. Every time that we live in habitual or unrepentant sin, like King David with Bathsheba. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And yet, he had sex with a woman who was married. He had adultery. He committed adultery. And he covered it up and ended up getting the husband killed in battle so he could be covered up. And it wasn't until the prophet Nathan came and called him out in his sin that he confessed it. He confessed it. You know why he was a man after God's own heart? Not because he lived perfectly for the Lord, But when he messed up, he repented of it. He confessed and he repented and he went after the Lord again. Okay? Amen? But he wrote, as a result of that, he wrote Psalm 32. And in there he talked about how when he did not confess his sins, he wasted away. He said God's hand was heavy upon him, pressing hard on him. It's in those times, believers, when we're living in habitual and unrepentant sin, that God doesn't torment us, but he presses on us. He presses on us to bring us out of that which we should not be doing, that which should be foreign to us. He presses on us to bring us out of that, those things that we become accustomed to in our lives, something that we become familiar with. I want to ask you today, what have you become accustomed to? If you have a favorite meal at a restaurant, and maybe you don't go there often enough to get sick of it, but you have a favorite meal at a restaurant, so every time you go, you have the same meal because, hey, it's your favorite meal. Why would you change it up? Why mess up a winning thing, right? If the people that waited on you there and brought you your meal were the same people every single time you went and they remembered what you ordered, you could go into them and you could say, the usual, and they would know exactly what you're talking about. That's what accustomed is, okay? In a similar way, what you have accepted as that's just the way that it is, like the old Bruce Hornsby song, that's just the way it is, some things will never change, that's just the way it is. What you've accepted as that's just the way it is has become usual for you. What those tending the pigs were accustomed to was those pigs feeding on the hillside. That's what they were accustomed to. But when Jesus gave the legion of demons permission to go into the pigs rather than into the infinite abyss of nothingness, quoting a movie there, it just says abyss, okay? They went into the abyss, or said, don't send us into the abyss. Then what they were accustomed to suddenly changed. Suddenly changed. Verse 33 of Luke 8. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. If you have any question what Satan wants to do with you, just look at the pigs. Just look at the pigs. He wants to take us out. Not on a date, not to give us some food or something like that. He wants to take us out, to get rid of us. Pigs don't have the ability to think critically. Just know if you know that or not, but they don't have the ability to think critically, okay? They didn't think about whether this was a good idea or not to run off the steep bank and jump into the water. But even though we have the ability to think critically, we don't always think that way, do we? We don't always think about, is this a good idea or not before we do it? But I think this is a picture of what Satan wants to do to all those made in the image of God. Self-destruction. He wants to take us out. And he uses things like suicide, overdose, drinking to excess, all kinds of things. And those things may originate from, or he uses these things in our lives, fear, ruined reputations of past mistakes, pain, not just physically, it can be, guilt, shame, loneliness. I'm the only one who's going through this. Bitterness. Think about it. What have you been accustomed to thinking about yourself? What has become customary to you? What do you usually see yourself thinking about when you're not preoccupied with something else that you're doing? Where does your mind rest? Where does it go? Does it build you up and encourage you in your walk with the Lord? Or is it tearing you down and making you feel awful and causing you to feel like you're separated from the love of God? What does it do? Let's see what it did to those tending the pigs here. Verse 34, when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. What did the people think? Well, guess what? They came and saw. That's like what Philip, the disciple, told Nathanael. When Philip told him, hey, come and see the one that we believe he's the Messiah, and he's from Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And Philip says these three words, come and see. They came, and they saw. But the people's reaction was they were afraid. They were afraid. That word afraid in the Greek is where we get the word phobia from. It means to be fearfully anxious. Why weren't they filled with wonder? So many other times we read about Jesus' miracles, and even the disciples, when they quieted the wind, when he quieted the wind and the waves, they were in amazement. They were in awe of him. Why were they afraid? Let me ask you, what happens when we get so accustomed to what is wrong or what is evil that what is good feels strange or foreign to us? I understand from studying this passage that those tending the sheep were Jewish people, which is surprising because, as Old Testament law tells us, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people were not to eat, let alone be around, near, or tending pigs. That lovely book of Leviticus, chapter 11, tells us that God said that those animals, the pigs, were unclean. Unclean. Now, we're thankful that Jesus came to tell us that not what goes into a man is what defiles him, but what comes out of a man, rather out of his heart, the evil thoughts and the sinful desires and all that kind of stuff, that's what makes us unclean. But at that time, the Jewish people were supposed to be living under Old Testament law. And they shouldn't be raising pigs, let alone a large number of them. A large number of them. So we can infer that these particular Jewish people, this particular group, was living in rebellion to the law of God. Why? Because it was what they became accustomed to doing. And maybe started with just one pig. Well, you know, one's good. Maybe two. Two is okay. And somehow it ended up becoming thousands, because that's how many a legion is, like 2,000 people in a legion, that all of the pigs were demonically possessed and jumped into the water. But for these Jewish people, it was what they had become accustomed to doing. It's what they built their livelihood off of. Sin can be profitable, can it not? Just think about it today. What kind of things that we know are sinful that are major industries in the world today? So how do they react to that? Verse 37, then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The reaction of the people was not in fear as far as amazement or in awe, but rather a fear of what Jesus was going to do next. He just cast all those demons into that pigs, and they left. They're gone. That was my livelihood. What are you going to do next, Jesus? Are you going to take away my comfort as well? Are you going to take away what it is I'm comfortable with? What I'm accustomed to? What are you going to do next? Please, there's the door. Go take it. And so Jesus, God himself, in their midst, right there with them, they say, I don't want that. I don't want to lose what I've become accustomed to. I don't want to lose what I'm comfortable with in my life. You leave. I'm hanging on to this. I wonder, what do we get so accustomed to that we don't see the evil in it anymore? What have we become blind to? Recently, I was noticing the windowsill in the office. There were three screws sitting on the left side of the windowsill. I don't know what they were there for. That's why they stayed there, because I don't know why they were there. I may have put them there. I just don't remember why. But anyway. But they were sitting there, and I don't remember why they're there. And what had happened was a spider had made its web over top of the screws that were sitting there on the windowsill. And the spider's web began to collect bugs. And then, if that wasn't enough, then there was this trail of ants that was coming to help take care of the evidence that the spider had left. Okay? And I'm looking at this windowsill, and I'm like, I'm asking the question, how long were those screws there that the spider sensed it could build a web there? How long was the web there that it caught so many different bugs? And how long had those ants been going back and forth, helping to get rid of the evidence? Right? And in a similar way, we can begin to overlook the things that sit in the corners of our hearts. As cobwebs begin to form over them, hardening our hearts to the things that we know are right. And dirt and dead bugs of our sinful behaviors begin to collect there. And pretty soon that part of our life becomes just what looks like it's customary. We're just accustomed to it. It's just the usual thing that we do. I take Jesus and some of this other stuff. This other stuff helps me to follow Jesus, helps me to kind of calm myself down, give me peace, help me do that kind of thing so I can follow Jesus. So much so that the thought of changing that causes fear. Greater fear than of a God that we can't see, but of whom sees every corner of our lives and of our hearts, like I saw in that windowsill. What kind of things form in the corners of our hearts? There may be stuff on the inside, wrong thinking, lies that we believe. They may manifest themselves in what we do in our sinful behavior. But they also may be outwardly as we look at the world around us. What kind of things have we become accustomed to? Specifically in the season that we're in right now. What have we become accustomed to seeing that we say, well, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. When we were in Omaha a few weeks ago, we went to a restaurant there that we like because, for one, my whole family can eat there with dietary restrictions and stuff like that. And for two, it's not a restaurant that we have around here, so we like going there. And so we walked up to this restaurant with my parents, and as we're walking up to the front, in the glass windows are some seasonal decorations. Oh, man, why do they have to have that stuff there? Like, well, that's just the way it is, right? That's just the way it is. Walk in, now they've got these statues of creatures sitting there along the way that you walk up to the till, okay? And they have this little shoe that has some kind of motion sensor on it that when you get close to it, it starts talking to you, and it starts going like this and then following you around. Just kind of kick that shoe off to the side, as if, you know? And, I mean, we may live in the state where we have the Halloween capital of the world in our state, right? But still, we live in a small town. We don't have a lot of haunted houses around here. We don't have a bunch of billboards like they do in Omaha all over the place with just nasty things on them, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, that's just the way it is. But my kids were kind of disturbed by the stuff that they were seeing in there. And so with one of them, I just grabbed them underneath my arm, and I said, hey, let's pray right now. Let's pray. And so we just prayed, and we asked that God's presence would come and fill that place, that God would touch the lives of those who are there, that God would bring light into the darkness. We don't need to be afraid of the darkness, right? We need to be the light. We don't need to fear and be like, okay? We need to be the light. We need to stand. We need to be the light. Get up to the till, and there's a young man with a cross, wearing a cross on his necklace. Big smile on his face. Man, he was great. Just great customer service. This guy like cleaned the grill for them to be able to eat there and that kind of thing. And they helped us all the way along. And then the guy at the end, we said, we're not gonna stay here. We're gonna leave. And so the guy at the end is like, well, how about I get you some drinks? Like, can I give your kids some drinks and things like that? And we're like, well, okay, well, sure. We're just gonna go home and get something, but that's fine. Give us drinks and that kind of thing. We were just kind of impressed by the customer service. And the thought comes to mind is, well, does that make everything else okay? I mean, they had great customer service, so can't we just kind of forget about the other stuff that they're doing? That's just the way it is. They got some really good food here. They got some really great customer service here. Do we just let it go? I say, that's just the way it is. I want you to know, I called the manager later. I talked to the manager, and I said, hey, this is how I started. I said, hey, I just want you to know, you got some really great employees there. I just really appreciate the great customer service that they provided my family and I. They were just amazing. I'm just so thankful for the employees that you have. And he's like, wow, okay, well, thank you. Thank you. And I said, but I did notice you've got a lot of Halloween decorations in the place. And I know that this is par for the course right now. I know it's everywhere, you know? And I said, but I didn't come into your place to be frightened. I didn't come into your place to go to a haunted house. I came into your place to eat, to get good food. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention. I said, it really bothered my kids. It bothered us. And he said, this is what he said. He said, thank you. My three-year-old daughter doesn't like the stuff either. I'm going to tell my manager, the owner. He said, we're locally owned. I'm going to tell the owner and the manager what you said, and that way maybe things will change around here. Guess what? That was my part. Whether they change it or not, doesn't matter. But what I chose to do was I chose not to be accustomed to the things of this world. I chose not to say, well, that's just the way it is. Or, well, this makes up for that. Because we can do that in our hearts too, can't we? Look at all the things I'm doing for you, Jesus. I'm just going to hold on to this thing over here. Right? This helps clear my mind so I can focus on you, Jesus. Kelly, several years ago when we had little kids, she went into a department store that she shops at. And when she walked in, there was Halloween decorations right there in the front. And our little kids are standing there like, what is this stuff, right? And so she goes to the manager and she says, hey, I like your store. I like everything that you guys sell here. I appreciate the opportunity to come here, but you've got all this yucky stuff set up right here in the front, and it really bothers my kids and I. The manager said, I've never been told that before. Thank you for letting me know. Next time she went in there, no decorations in the front of the store. What can we do? What do we allow ourselves to be accustomed to and say, that's just the way that it is? Here's the main point today. Jesus wants to change what the world is accustomed to. He wants to change it. He wants to do it through you and I, and he is able to do it. He is able to do it. Inside us, through us, as we politely ask, for what will never change to be changed. Amen? As we close today, I got two closings. Two. First one, what have you allowed in your life, in your heart? What have you grown accustomed to? That to consider the possibility of letting it go completely may cause some fear. May cause some fear. That's not just for new believers, by the way. That's not just for those who are seeking the truth. I think about Revelation 2 and verse 4. Well, Revelation 2, the end of Revelation 1, Jesus is giving a revelation to John, and he's basically writing seven letters to the churches in the world at that time. And the first letter that he has John write is to the church in Ephesus. And he begins by praising them for all the good things that they're doing. You're seeking out what is false and you're getting rid of it. You're not having anything to do with it. That's good. That's good. But then he says this in verse 4. He says, you have forsaken the love you had at first. You have forsaken the love you had at first. We can be real good about pointing fingers about what everybody else is doing wrong. We can be real good about that because we know what the scriptures say. We can be real good about pointing our finger. But Jesus says, you've lost the love that you had at first. And then he says this, it's kind of eye-opening. He says, consider how far you have fallen. Consider how far you have fallen. And he says, repent. Repent and do the things that you did at first. That word is for all of us today. Repent and do those things. Don't accept things in your life that go against God's word as that's just the way that it is. That's just the way that I am. Repent. If you've been walking with the Lord for a while, repent and do the things that you did at first. Will you stand with me today? This is my first closing. you would say today that there's things in your heart that you recognize that are not pleasing to the Lord. And I don't mean that you're, you know, struggling with it. I mean that you're living in it. This is the way that you operate. This is what keeps you calm. This is what helps you get through each day. And you just accept it as just that's just the way that it is. But you recognize today that this is not pleasing to the Lord. Maybe it's that you haven't trusted the Lord completely. Maybe you haven't made that decision to follow him even. Or maybe your heart has grown cold because you allowed something in that is not pleasing to him, and you're holding on to that while you're trying to reach for Jesus, and he feels like he's distant from you. He feels like he's far away. Every eye closed in this place. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to consider these things that you have given us in your word. Lord, I thank you that you are able to expose the things of darkness. In fact, you see it all clearly. Your word says that darkness is as light to you. You see it all clearly, Lord. I thank you, first of all, that you love us. You love us in the midst of our sin. In fact, you demonstrated your love for us in this, and while we were still sinners, you died for us. So you show us that your love is not conditioned on whether or not we have sin in our lives or we're living in habitual sin. But you love us regardless. God, may we be reassured with that today. But I pray, Lord, if there's any in this place, I would say they need to repent today. They need to repent of the things that they live in, the things that they go back to, the things that keep them from fully pressing into you or fully trusting you. Whether it's for salvation, someone needs to make the decision to follow Jesus today, or returning to you, Lord. Maybe hearts have grown cold because we're clinging to this thing that we're not willing to let go of, and to think about letting go of it would cause so much fear that we're not willing to let it go and trust you, Lord. But today, you're willing to give God the opportunity to make that change in your heart. That's you today for any of those things, salvation, coming back to him, whatever it may be today. With every eye closed in this place, I just want you to slip up a hand in humility. Is there anybody in this place that would say, I need to make a change in my heart. I need God to make a change in my heart. Is there anybody here today? Thank you. Thank you. We're going to pray a prayer of rededication today. So just don't repeat after me, but just join in this prayer. Father, we come before you just a grateful people, Lord, for what you have done for us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you did for us on the cross, as we sang about earlier, Lord. God, you poured out your blood and your life for us. God, that we would know what love is, and that also that we would have atonement for our sins. Lord, we thank you for dying for us. We thank you for raising us to new life. But God, we get stuck sometimes in things in our lives. We let those screws sit on the windowsill too long in our lives, God. And some things start to happen there that are not supposed to happen. And so, Lord, today we repent of those things. Whatever that is, just offer that up to him today. Jesus. We repent of those things. God, we don't want to live in them any longer. Help us, Lord. We need your help. In these areas of our hearts, God, all human help is worthless. It's useless compared to what you can do in our hearts, Lord. Only you can change a heart. And so we pray today, God, make us new once again in you. Relight the fire in our hearts, God. May it burn. May it kindle, God. May the flame be unquenchable, I pray. Lord, that it would consume those things that get in the way, those things that we're repenting of today. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. We receive that today, just even as King David, as soon as he confessed his sin, the prophet Nathan, speaking on behalf of God, said, "You have been forgiven of your sin. You are not going to die." So we thank you for that, Lord. Second closing today. Maybe you've accepted things in the world today as just the way that it is. You've become accustomed to what's happening in the world today. You say, that's just the way it is. Some things will never change. If you want to pray with me today that God would give us boldness to be his light, to do it in a way that is not condescending or condemning or critical or negative, how many know we can be bold and not be condemning and critical and negative? Yeah. So if you want to pray with me today, just again, you can keep your eyes open, but anybody that wants to pray that God would give them boldness today, would you raise a hand with me today? Yeah, hands up everywhere. Okay. Father, we thank you so much that you help us to come to you, Lord, through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, as the example that the apostles set in Acts chapter 4 when they saw what was happening in that day and they were being called into account even in front of the Sanhedrin and being persecuted, Lord, that they said, they came back together and they said, God, consider their threats and give your servants great boldness. God, we pray for that same boldness today, Lord God. You want to shake this place today like you did in Acts chapter 4. God, but we pray, would you shake us today? Take out what is shakable in us, Lord, that what is unshakable may remain, and give us that boldness to do the work that you have called us to do in our day, to not accept things as the way that they are, that do not please you, God, but in a way that is loving us. We remember what you did for us when we were once darkness, and yet you loved us. You didn't turn your back on us, and you came for us. Lord, help us in boldness today, I pray, to be able to share the love of God and the truth of God with those around us as you give us opportunity. Lord, we're not going to run around and start pointing fingers at our neighbors and take down your stuff in your yard and that kind of stuff, but God, we want to do things in love. We want to start, God, from a perspective of you love them just as much as you love us. So in boldness today, God, help us to walk that out in a way that is pleasing and that honors you, we pray. We receive, God, whatever you want to give us today, but we ask for boldness to not take things the way they are, as that's the way it has to be. In Jesus' name, we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.